This is FBG Jen
and FBG Kristen.
And I'm FBG Margot, host and producer. You're listening to the podcast that will help you keep a lid on the junk in the trunk and inspire you to live a happy and confident life.
Each episode, we chat with motivational experts and celebs and share our own candid adventures in being healthy.
If you're looking for a podcast that's equal parts hilarious and enlightening, well, then welcome to the Fit Bottoms Girls podcast.
Yeehaw, everybody. It's the Fit Bottom Girls podcast, and we're going a little country today. I don't know if any of us are country mouses at heart, but we'll find out. So this is FBG Margot, and on the line today we have Jen.
Hey, your yeehaw was great, Margot.
And Kristen.
Howdy, y'all.
There you go. That's a good howdy.
In the spirit of it.
So today's guest, it's Autumn Calabrese. She has a new DVD. It's called Country Heat. Actually, it's been out for a little while, but she's with Beachbody. She's very successful with them. She did the 21 Day Fix and then the 21 Day Fit Extremes. And she's a very busy single mom. And we were lucky to catch her on the phone for a little bit to talk about Country Heat. And so I guess I wanted to talk to you guys about country music and what your experience has been with it. Did you grow up with it? Do you listen to it? Did your family listen to it? You know, where did you grow up and did you listen to country? So Jen, you go first.
Okay, so I grew up in like a little suburb north of Kansas City, and it was a little bit, I mean, definitely suburban, but also like a little bit on the rural side in some ways. And my parents were definitely into like, we had a bass boat, we went bass fishing, we went to the lake. So there was definitely an element of like country there. And I know when I was growing up, my parents, I remember a Tanya Tucker tape, cassette tape. I don't really remember any of the songs from it, but it was like always in my dad's truck. And we always had a truck and we always brought the dog with us in the truck. So when I was younger, we listened to a ton of music. And as you'll probably hear more about later, I went on like a serious Garth Brooks bender when he came out, like obsession for a couple of years. And I kind of tried to like hide it because pop music was cooler, I guess I thought. But I could not deny my love for Garth.
And what about you, Kristen?
What about you?
So, yeah, Jen, if you were like in a slightly rural area, I was basically in the forest, like 3 dirt roads to get to my house. We were half an hour from anything resembling like a movie theater, an hour from, you know, an actual city. So, and my dad actually owned like a hunting and fishing store.
Oh, wow.
Earl Sports Stop. What up? Yeah. So, you know, like during hunting season, he bought deer hides. And yeah, I mean, to say that I grew up in that kind of an environment is a pretty big understatement. And my dad loved like old school country and Western. So when I would be riding around in his truck with him, that's what we would listen to a lot of. But my mom did not and continues to not like it. So, you know, it was a lot of like Rolling Stones and Bob Seger with her. Although, funny enough, she now teaches line dancing.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, Connie Green. She is quite the line dancing queen. She's really
a well-rounded woman.
Yeah, she's really good. She teaches lessons, classes at their, like in their neighborhood. And then, you know, they go out to the different dances and do their line dancing.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, yeah, she's taught me a few things.
She should do a class for us sometime, like live on Facebook or something. That would be so fun.
Snapchat.
Oh my gosh. That would be a lot of fun. Well, if my mom is actually listening to this, Mom, you there? that would be fun. But yeah, so I went through when I was in like middle school, maybe early high school, I went through a big country phase because, well, for me, it was actually a lot because everyone was listening to pop and I wanted to be contrary. So I was like, no, I've got boots. I'm into country now. And then when people started listening to country, then I started listening to like Weezer and, you know, other stuff. So yeah, I don't listen to a ton of it now, but I definitely have some really fond memories about like kind of surrounding country music and that culture.
I do too. And I think it's funny because like I have so many good memories from growing up that are like on the bass boat, fishing and camping and doing all that kind of stuff. Like it's always like so outdoorsy and very cool. And while you were talking, Kristen, I totally forgot that I went to a Shania Twain concert.
What?
Like all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, that happened. I did that.
When did you do that?
That's in high school.
Did she sign autographs? I know somebody who saw her at Madison Square Garden, okay? And during the show, people kept running up to her to get the autograph. My friend was getting annoyed because she signed every single one during her performance and kept singing and dancing and doing everything. Like, she was one of the best shows she's ever seen.
Yeah, there was like a moment where it was taking forever because she had people up on the stage and they were taking photos and stuff. I do remember that. Yeah.
Yep. So, I grew up basically in the suburbs. My dad worked for IBM, so that stands for I've Been Moved. That's a joke we had with each other. So for a while I lived in the suburbs, and then for a while we lived kind of in the country in Pennsylvania. We had 3 acres of land. My grandfather was a jockey. I was always around people don't know this about me. I'm really good around horses. I grew up with it, and it's sort of the culture in my family. My mother is a big time country fan, and she goes to see everybody, and she's really current and hip, and you hang out with my mom, she knows all those people, and she now lives in Reno, Nevada, and they go there. You know, there's a lot of country music fans up in northern Nevada, and mom goes to all the shows, so I try to go with her when I'm up there. But I actually went through a phase in the 90s where I was Pearl Jam, Nirvana, I went to all those shows, you know, I loved it. But at the same time, I harbored this Garth Brooks kind of crush. As a performer, I just thought he was amazing. He puts on a show. He plays to every seat in the house. So yeah, I guess I just admire a good performer, and I'm a big fan of rock, and I think country rock kind of blends together really nicely. And I grew up with a lot of that. So I don't listen to a lot of contemporary country music, but every once in a while, something kind of just sneaks into my worldview, like Carrie Underwood or something like that. Or the Dixie Chicks. I was really into the Dixie Chicks for a while.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And like a lot of the really good indie rock out there, I feel like, you know, kind of comes from a place of like a little bit country. You know, you get a lot of the folksy type vibe from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do like that it's, you know, everything isn't, I'm sure, so I don't really know music. Like, I know what I like is how I know music. Mm-hmm. But it feels like a lot of things defy categorization as much as they used to be really easy to categorize. Like, this belongs on a country station. This belongs on the top 40 station. Mm-hmm. And now there are so many cool crossovers and artists who are collaborating outside of that whole, who is it that Nelly did the thing with I hated it.
Yeah. I liked it.
Oh God, Jen, no.
Was it Cruise? No, was it the song Cruise? No. Maybe no. That's
Are
something
you ever gonna, like, over and over again, or it's just like,
yeah.
There you go.
I don't know what it was. It just hurts me to even think of it. Don't make that earworm happen. Don't. Wait.
Well, did you guys remember this past year, Beyonce was on stage with the Dixie Chicks at the CMAs, and a couple of white dude country stars were kind of throwing side eye about it. But Beyonce's from the South. I mean, she is a country girl at heart.
Yeah.
You know, so exactly.
Tim McGraw. It's Nelly and Tim McGraw.
Okay, the song. Okay, we won't play that. We won't play it. I won't get a clip. No. I'm not going to play it. Okay.
Please don't. I will quit. You will never hear me on this podcast again. I have stated my demands.
Half of you may hate it. Half of you might like it.
You know what? Email us, podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. Tell us what you think of country music. What are your favorite songs? Because we really want to know. Was that a good song or not a good song, Nelly and Tim McGraw? Let us know. Okay. So,
workouts. I mean, I think that's kind of an interesting, you know, tie-in. Like, do you listen to country for workouts?
Yeah, let us know. You know, and on Twitter, Facebook, wherever you find us. But definitely, yeah, let us know. So today, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to do a top five list. I've challenged my cohorts here to come up with your top five country songs. And I know we're all sweating. We were sweating a little bit before we went on the air, like, you know, moving our songs around and stuff. But what we're going to do is I'm going to go first, then Jen, then Kristen. And I'll start with my number five. And it's not really in any particular order. I just love these five songs. That, you guys good?
That is fine.
Yeah, I can't pick an order. I'm not picking it. Yeah.
Okay. No order.
Okay, so no order, but my number five, it's The Wichita Lineman by Glen Campbell. It's just one of my favorite songs of all time. There was a documentary about Glen Campbell this past year, and I got I got very weepy. He's very sick. He has Alzheimer's. He's a performer for 50 plus years. He's an amazing guitarist. I took guitar for a while and I've learned a couple of his songs. And it's just one of my favorite songs. It reminds me actually of my friend Brandy Koski. Shout out to Brandy.
Hi Brandy.
Cause she's from Wichita. But that's my number five song. And it's one of the ones like, you know, it makes me a little weepy. And Brandy told me actually one time she saw James Taylor live and he played the song. That's my number five song, Wichita Lineman. And Jen, what's yours?
I'm going to go with Forever and Ever Amen by Randy Travis.
Yes.
It's an oldie but a goodie. I love his voice. Like for me, like the tone of his voice and quality is just so country and rich and it just makes me smile. He also played at the end of a Royals game one time when I was in like high school. It was really random, but I remember I was with some boy. He was probably stupid, but, cause I dated a lot of stupid boys at that time
Didn't
in my
we
life.
All?
Yeah, but I remember sitting there and he was just like, how do you know like all these songs? And I was like, what is wrong with you? You don't know anything by Randy Travis? Like he's the man. Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, I've got to pick Amazed by Lone Star.
Ooh.
Because, so despite my not really loving contemporary country so much, I actually met my husband in a country bar.
Oh,
I've got to figure out whether I'm going to tell Jared to listen to this or not. But yeah, he was out line dancing. We were with kind of a big group of friends who all knew each other. And there's this line dance where the guys all throw their hats in the middle and proceed to hump them. And he was not like very country. He was wearing like a visor and a checkered shirt. And it was the year 2000. So like, visors were really cool. But he was just like all in, like having a blast. And I, right then I was basically like, that's a guy I need to get to know because anyone who's going to make as big a fool of themselves on the dance floor as I will is somebody who needs to be in my life. And then he asked me to dance to Amazed. So that was then our wedding song. So yay.
Heart emojis.
To Amazed.
That's really sweet.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, so my number four, I love Patsy Cline big time. It's Walking After Midnight. It's just kind of...
Oh, I love that.
That's a good one.
It's a waltz. It's just sweet and it's twangy. And you listen to it and you just got to kind of sway to it. You know what I mean? Like it just kind of takes you to another place in time. And I wish there was somebody like her again out there singing. And I just love that song so much. So that's my number four, Walking After Midnight.
That's so cute. I love that. That's magical.
My
number four could maybe be anything by Garth Brooks. And I have a really hard time choosing because Friends in Low Places is kind of like Garth Brooks has a strong Kansas City connection and they always play like at the Kansas City Royals games. If you go to a baseball game, they always play Friends in Low Places. It's kind of like our version of, Sweet Caroline, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, but that's like such an obvious pick. You know what I mean? So I'm also a big fan of like Thunder Rolls or Standing Outside the Fire, like, oh. I mean, I think you can even, like, work out to those songs. Love them.
So it's both those two from Garth Brooks?
I'm doing all those. I'm just doing Garth Brooks as my composite number four.
There you go. Perfect. What about you, Kristen?
Well, and I think it should be, I just have to say that, you know, Garth Brooks covered I Go Out Walking After Midnight.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Good tie-in. Really good segue.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, so next up for me, I'm going to go with Goodbye Earl from the Dixie Chicks.
Oh, nice.
Because it's fun. So great. That's all. No story. Just fun.
They're awesome. And that's a great video too. It's a really hilarious video in there. Yeah. So definitely that's a great choice. Okay. So my number three, somebody turned me on to Miranda Lambert a few years ago and I took a deep dive and she has a song called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend that is just super twangy and rock and roll and crazy. And I can tell you you don't know the song, but you should check it out sometime. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend from Miranda Lambert. It's really, really great. She's got a really fun voice and it's cool. It's just really cool. That's my number three.
Awesome. My number three is, I'm just going to follow in Kristen's footsteps, but I will choose a different Dixie Chick song. I like Sin Wagon.
Ooh.
And I saw them live with girlfriends in high school and they did this really cool thing where they had put like, they dropped this red curtain behind them and that's all it was, just them and this red curtain. And Sin Wagon's like a really like high energy kind of bluegrassy song. And they just like, all they did was like shook the curtain somehow with like all this wind and it was very simple, but created this huge like energy effect. It was so cool. So Sin Wagon.
Awesome.
If you don't know,
that's
it.
A good one. I do know that.
Check
one.
Yeah, how could you not, right?
Okay, so I'm going to take it way back and discuss my love for Johnny Cash.
Oh, yes.
So there's, this was, you know, Jen, if you had a hard time choosing a single one from Garth, this was my, like, oh, God, what do I pick? and I'm going to go with Folsom Prison Blues.
Yes.
Because that is one of that's one of my good workout songs. So I feel like that's an appropriate choice for our discussion today.
What did you think of the movie about it, Walk the Line?
I thought it was entertaining. So as much as I like his music, I'm not like a super fan where I know a ton about his life. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was totally entertaining, but I remember that his family was not too happy with the depiction. Was that correct?
Yeah.
Or am I making that up?
There's always something like that. Whenever they do a biopic, somebody gets really upset and says, you got this totally wrong. They were over here, not there. I mean, that always happens. I was just curious. I mean, I like musical biopics, but I find them also very forgettable. Like, they're enjoyable, and then they go right out of my brain. Like, when I leave the theater.
Like, I can't tell you anything about it other than, like, I remember a couple of the, like, performance scenes, and that's really all I got.
Okay. So my number two, it's a case of, like, it's Willie Nelson, and I can name, like, 20 Willie Nelson songs. He's just one of my favorite performers, you know, Whiskey River and I mean all that stuff, but there's a song called Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. It's from the 70s and it's one of those songs I play when I need to ugly cry, when I'm having a hard time dealing with my feelings. This is the kind of song I'll put on and just kind of cry it out. And it's so beautiful and sad at the same time. And it's just wonderful. I'm going to cry just talking about it, but that's my number two. Mm-hmm. Willie Nelson, Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. And you definitely, people out there, just download the song right now. You'll know what I'm talking about.
So maybe not one to work out to, but maybe one to
cool down.
sit down and feel your feelings with.
Have a bottle of wine and some ice cream and put that song on. You'll cry it all out.
Feel your feelings. Well, I think, okay, so I Will Always Love You, Dolly Parton. You know, I know we all know like the Whitney Houston version, but it's a gorgeous, beautiful song. And I think that it can also maybe move you to tears in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But it's just really touching and it's simple and it's just... It's beautiful, and I like the Dolly version, and then I equally love the Whitney Houston version, and I love The Bodyguard. Not that we're talking about The Bodyguard or Whitney Houston at all, but I also really like those things, and now you know that.
So do I. I love The Bodyguard.
I was, like, obsessed. That was the first rated R movie I saw in the theater.
Oh.
And now I look, if you watch it now, I'm like, I don't even think, like, there's no nudity. They don't, maybe they say, like, one F-bomb, that's it. I mean, it's just so funny.
Wow. Yeah, it's practically G now.
Yeah seriously. Totally.
So I also have a Dolly pick. I'm going with Jolene.
Oh, yes.
Funny so enough, good. Like, I actually got to know the song more because Me First and the Gimme Gimmes covered it. And then I got to know the Dolly version. And then I don't know if you guys have seen it. Didn't come out too long ago, the Dolly Parton and Pentatonix, like, collaboration. It came out this year. I think it was maybe just a couple months ago. At least that was when I saw it, I might not be cool. But it's like haunting and beautiful and just, I think that this is one that we should include like a link to because it's just really good.
Done.
You'll like it.
So my number one is a Dolly Parton song, and I had a feeling you two would pick those songs that you both picked. So I went way back with Dolly. It's one of the first songs I've heard from her. My mom had this country music, Dolly's Greatest Hits, on a cassette and played it all the time. And she has a song called Here You Come Again. It's You Come Again. Dun, dun. You guys know this song. It's like the greatest song in the world. Okay, I could tell you don't know it.
I don't.
You will listen to it and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Shame us into learning more.
I'm going to include a link. We'll include links for the songs. Let's just do that so everybody can see them. But that's my number one. So that's okay. Yeah. What's your number one, Jen?
I love it. All My Exes Live in Texas by George Strait. That's like another one that I feel like I listened in with my parents in the truck driving around like camping and doing different outdoorsy things. It was All My Exes Live in Texas. It's just fun.
Awesome.
All right, Kristen. I have a whole bunch that I was kind of debating between, like including All My Exes and just a whole bunch that were big around that time, or at least in my mind around that time, like Chattahoochee and all that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'm going to go with Boots, Scootin' Boogie by Brooks and Dunn because of the amazing line dancing possibilities. So that is my pick.
That's awesome.
Nobody picked. I feel like I heard Achy Breaky Heart like 5 billion times.
Oh, jeez.
No.
Right?
No.
I bought that single during the same shopping trip that I bought Baby Got Back. I remember this very specifically, which are not things that go together.
The two first CDs I ever bought were Vanilla Ice and MC Hammer.
Wow.
At the same time, when they came in the third, like, tall, vertical thing.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Oh,
my God. I do. Garth Brooks was my first one.
Oh.
I think it was In Pieces, maybe. Or else, what was the black and white album?
Ooh. That's the one I had. That's the one with Friends in Low Places on it, right?
Yeah.
Or was that
I'm blanking.
I don't know. It was one of those. I had them all at some
point. There are true Garth Brooks fans right now just like...
screaming at us. I know. I have a Garth Brooks box set in my... I have a Garth Brooks box set in my living room right now. I could run there right now and find out, but I won't. But those are my bona fides. I have a Garth Brooks box set, okay? So, well, that was really fun, you guys. I really loved doing that list. That was really cool. So let's just go right into the interview. Shall we?
Sounds great.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Today's special guest is Autumn Calabrese. She is a celebrity trainer, a best-selling author, and working mom who revolutionized the Beachbody fitness model with her simple approach to portion control. Her breakthrough HIIT workout, 21 Day Fix, and follow-up, 21 Day Fix Extremes, have been Beachbody's top-selling franchises for the past 2 years. And while her cookbook, Fixate, has sold more than 350,000 copies, wow. In December 2015, she introduced the Master's Hammer and Chisel, an innovative resistance training system. She has held certifications from the National Academy of Sports Medicine and the American Fitness Professionals and Associates. She has taken home top 10 titles at national level bikini competitions around the country. Next up for Autumn is the release of her much anticipated cardio dance fitness workout, Country Heat. Country Heat is a high energy, easy to follow, low impact, country dance inspired fitness program that totally fires up the fun. You won't even feel like you're working out when you're trying. I've seen the clips. It sounds like so much fun to do. She's here today to talk about Country Heat and a little bit more. Welcome to the show, Autumn.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're great. So Autumn, this is Margo, and on the line today we have Jen.
Hello.
Hello.
So I'm going to ask the first question. You have done phenomenally well with your Beachbody DVDs and having a celebrity clientele. How did you get started in the fitness industry, and what were your original goals with your career?
I guess I've kind of technically always been in the fitness industry. I've been a dancer my whole life. So I was a competitive dancer all through grade school and high school. I went on to major in it in college. So I was an assistant dance teacher in college and then a little bit out of college. Once I got to California, I was doing a little bit of dancing. I was doing a little bit of acting. But I always really, really enjoyed helping people get healthy and fit and just move. And that's when I decided to become a personal trainer. So I got certified first through the National Academy of Sports Medicine. And there was a lot of different goals at the time. I really wanted to be working with kids a lot. Kids are so important to me, and they really are our future, and what we teach them is what is going to go on to lead future generations. So kids was a big deal for me. But, you know, in terms of our kids, it actually really starts with the parents and what we're teaching them as well. So my goal was really just help people and show them that being healthy and fit isn't some sort of punishment or sentence, but that it can really be fun. It can be a lifestyle. It can be easy to do. You don't have to be deprived. And thus far, I've really been able to live out all of my dreams and then some through Beachbody. So it's been an amazing journey so far.
So talk to us a little bit about Country Heat. I know here on Fit Bottom Girls, we do a lot of different music playlists, and I don't think that country music is like the genre of music we always like think of going to when it comes to workouts. So I'm curious to know like how Country Heat came about, and then like how you found your music and stuff for it. Yeah.
So yeah, I look, first of all, I love all music. And normally when I work out, if you go to one of my workout playlists, it's usually hip hop and rap and a little bit more pop and that sort of thing. But I do love my country music. And I was actually at an event for Beachbody, and I was getting ready to teach my workout, and some of the coaches were on stage, and they were like, hey, we have a surprise for you before you teach your workout. We just follow along to this little country dance we made up. And they put on Cotton Eye Joe and they had me follow along, and super fun. And they posted the clip on Facebook, and my boss, Carl, the CEO of Beachbody, saw it. And he called me into his office like a few weeks later and was like, hey, I have this idea for a program. And he actually had the idea for quite a long time, probably almost 15 years, of wanting to do like a dance fitness program to country music. that really anybody could do and anybody could get a good cardio workout from. So he asked me if I was interested in doing it, and I obviously was, and we went into development pretty quick on it and spent the next year developing it and went through several versions of what it could be and what it should look like and how to really make it accessible to everybody and anybody so that even if somebody's never worked out before, they could do it and get a great workout. But also that if somebody who's very fit and athletic wanted to try it, that they could still get a great workout as well. And we came up with an amazing program. I'm so proud of it. I think it landed right in the sweet spot of cardio dance fitness where you just sweat like crazy for 30 minutes. You have the best time dancing to awesome music. We've got songs that are made by people like Keith Urban and Luke Bryan and Thomas Rhett and the Dixie Chicks and Miranda Lambert and Eric Padley, and obviously Jody Messina's on there. She even wrote a song for me specifically for it. And so, yeah, that's how it came to be. But it's not line dancing. It's just inspired by line dancing. And what I mean by that is line dancing is very basic. Like, the footwork isn't super duper complicated usually. And that's what we were going for, was like basic steps that you don't have to really memorize choreography. You just have to follow me. So it's follow along. That's really the premise of it. It's follow along to awesome country music. And these are like heart pumping country music songs. Like, the beat is going. And I can't tell you how many times I've had people try the program now and go, you know, I'm a little bit skeptical because I'm not really a big country music fan, but oh my God, I love it so much. It's now my favorite cardio workout program to do. And, the bottom line is that, you know, it might not be your first thought of music to go to when you're working out, but it is the number one genre of music listened to here in the U.S. So there's a big fan base for it.
So are there, like, moves that you then could take to, like, the country club or, like, bust out if, like, a country song came on in your, you know, kitchen?
I mean, I'm sure you could. I'm sure you absolutely could. You could bust all of them out and you could take all of them there. Again, at the country club, like if you go to a country nightclub kind of thing, there usually are very specific line dances that they're doing to specific songs. But that doesn't mean you can't get out there and shake it and do it your own way, because that's the whole point of it and that's what's fun. And there are two bonus line dance workouts, or line dances, I should say, that we've put in there. And those are just line dances. They're literally like 4 minutes in length. They're super fun. I break the moves down for you and you just do the line dance for 4 minutes. And that's really just for fun. That was sort of a nod to country music and where the whole program came from. One of the songs was written by Jody Messina specifically for me. I called her up and was like, hey, how do you feel like doing a song for me? And she wrote a really great sort of rock country song called Night Crawl that I choreographed the line dance to. And there's another song called Cowboy Up, which is it's a popular country song. And that technically has a line dance that people do at nightclubs, but I was like, we're making up our own. And I made and so choreographed a new one for that one as well, and also super fun.
So my question to you is, you're so busy with so many things going on, you know, creating these programs and choreographing everything and calling your friends and getting your cool friends to write songs for you. You're very busy, I'm going to say. And a lot of our readers are busy women too. And they're always asking us for tips and hints and little workouts you can do when you're crunched for time. If you don't even have the 30 minutes to do your DVD, if you don't even have 30 minutes in the day to do that, like, what are your favorite go-to quick workouts if you're crunched for time?
I mean, I'll say two things. One, yes, I'm always crunched for time. So I'm going to say two things. I'm a little bit of a stickler of, if it's important, you'll make time. Mm-hmm. And I think we can all find 30 minutes in our day to dedicate to ourselves, because it makes you better at everything else that you do. Like, when you do for yourself, you're better able to go do for everybody else. So your job and your kids and your family and that sort of thing. So I'm a big advocate for making time and scheduling time for at least 30 minutes. But that being said, I definitely understand that there are just days where it doesn't happen. And I really tell people, it's not one specific move or something like that you have to go to. It's just doing whatever you can do in the amount of time that you have. So if you've got 10 minutes and you want to grab a jump rope and do something like jump rope for 30 or 60 seconds, and then maybe do some push-ups or some sit-ups, or like if you've got dumbbells, you can do bicep curls or shoulder presses. You know, it's whatever you can do to move for in the amount of time that you have to move that will make you feel a little bit better, where you're like, okay, it wasn't a full workout, but at least I moved my body a little bit today. Even if it's just going for a walk, like go for a walk or go for a little jog. Again, it doesn't have to be far. If you've got a 20-minute lunch break, like, go walk.
Mm-hmm. No, totally.
I, for sure.
You know, it's like,
Don't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be the perfect workout all the time.
No, you just got to get your body moving. And I think sometimes people really get fixated on, well, it should be push-ups and this and that and the other. And like you said, sometimes it's just going for a walk because it clears your head amongst everything else.
Yeah.
And when you return, you're always in a better mood.
Exactly. You just get the heart pumping, the blood flowing, and the endorphins going just a little bit. And a lot of times you'll find, too, that once you start, you might be like, oh, I could squeeze in 5 more minutes. Like, I can squeeze in just 5 more minutes. Like, and then you get a 15-minute workout instead of a 10-minute workout. So
getting started
is the key.
Let's talk a little bit about bikini competitions. I know that was in your bio that you've done them. And I think a lot of women kind of like in their heads, they see pictures of women that are at that elite level of, I guess, like a certain visual aspect of fitness. And they aspire to that. They want to look like that. Can you maybe just talk about a little bit about the level of dedication and training and discipline it takes to kind of be maybe workout DVD ready or bikini competition ready versus, you know, how that differs from just, you know, your everyday healthy life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everyday healthy life is just that. It's very maintainable. You know, you're eating clean 85 to 95% of the time. You're getting your workout in at least 5 days a week, and that could be anything from, you know, 30 minutes to an hour. And you're just sort of leading your very healthy, normal, not insanely restricted life. Bikini competitions are very different. You are looking at elite athletes. And I know people don't always look at that because what they see on stage is somebody in a very skimpy bikini posing.
Right.
And you're in your shiny bikini and you're sprayed down and you're in your clear high heels. And a lot of times it can even get mocked. I will tell you that these are the most dedicated athletes, strong in mind and body and nutrition that you will ever meet. Like they don't, like you can't give up. Like if you're going to go stand on that stage in that skimpy bikini with the rest of the people that are up there, you better bring your A game because they all are. Like these are not people who are training for 30 minutes a day. You're in the gym 3 hours a day. Right. Just because your body's sore doesn't mean you're not working out. You are. You want an alcoholic beverage? Too bad. You want a cookie? See you in 4 months. You just don't have it. You are dialed in 110% for the time period that you are training. So most people train anywhere from 3 months to 6 months, depending, I guess, on what their body is in, like their pre-competition shape. You know, if they're not in the best of shape, it take a little bit longer. If they've already been doing it for a while, it's just sort of a little bit easier to get back in there. But your nutrition is timed to a T, what you're eating and when you're eating and all of that stuff. And it can change every 2 to 3 days. I mean, you're working with your coach and you're sending photos every 2 to 3 days and they're looking at your body and they're going, you need to add in a teaspoon of peanut butter today. Like literally it's that finite of like, okay, everything looks great. You need to time the healthy fat, add this in. Or, okay, great. It's the carb deplete. So now we're here. Okay, you know, and like I said, with the workouts, those things, those are very, dedicated and goes in phases of when you're lifting heavy and then when you switch over to plyometrics and when you add in more cardio and when you stop working out, which is usually 2 to 3 days before the competition because you got to let the swelling in your body go down. It's definitely, like I said, if you choose to do it, it's fantastic and a great ride and it's amazing thing to see what you can do and how you can transform your body. But it is an elite athlete that is standing on that stage competing.
I think that is so important for people to hear, because I think we see so many images of models and, you know, women in that state and they think like, oh, you know, they just work out a lot and they eat well. But I don't think like that level, like if you want to look like that, you have to go to some really regimented places, you know, like you were saying, you have to be so dedicated and so hardcore. So there's no reason why if we're, you know, just like walking around, why we should think we should, you know, have a thigh gap or look a certain way. Like you have to work so hard for that. And I think, and the secondary piece to that is that, you know, like so many women are afraid of bulking up and having huge muscles. But like again, you have to work really, really, really hard to have huge muscles. So yeah, it's super interesting.
And not only do you have to work insanely hard to have huge muscles, and we all do have different body types where some girls are just built thicker and some girls are built a little bit more lean. I mean, there are different body shapes and types out there. But the bottom line is for a woman, you just are not going to put on massive size without external help. It's not possible. I mean, like I said, if you're a little bit thicker, then you're going to be a little bit on the thicker side no matter what, because that's just your body type. But you're not, you know, you're not going to look like She-Man from lifting weights, because unless there's external help, because we just don't have the testosterone in our body to do it.
Totally. So ladies, don't be afraid to pick up the heavy weights.
Yeah, exactly. I teach a core training class, and sometimes I say to the women, pick a medium weight and a heavier weight. And how many of them pick a 3 pound and a 5 pound? And that just makes me kooky. I'm just like, no, especially, you know, when you're over 40, you've got to like lift those weights.
Absolutely. And, you know, you see photos on like Instagram and stuff, and you see those girls aren't lifting 3s and 5s.
No.
I can promise you that. They're lifting heavier than some men I know. So don't be afraid to pick them up and go for it.
So my question for you is that you said in previous interviews when you were young that you had struggled a little bit with weight gain and self-image, and then you discovered exercise and dance, of course. But you're a mom now. Do you have any lessons for your child about body image and taking care of yourself? Like, does any of that residue like come into your life now as a mom and talking with your son?
Yeah, I want to correct that a little bit. I didn't, I'll be honest, I didn't struggle that bad. I mean, I had puberty weight, so I mean, there is, you know, which is normal. But I honestly didn't ever have, like, that might have gotten taken out of context a little bit. Like, I was always around others who struggled with that because I was a dancer, and in the dance world, you watch that. And I think I'm really lucky that I didn't struggle too bad with it. Like, I never had an eating disorder or felt horrible about my body. Mm-hmm. I did go through, like I said, the puberty phase of it, but I was always blessed to have amazing dance teachers who were very positive about encouraging us and our bodies and teaching us that it was about eating healthy, not about, you know, like I said, having an eating disorder or being restricted. But I am very aware of it because, like I said, I did go to college as a dance major, and I was in that world, and I watched people struggle with it, and it's heart-wrenching. So as a mom, yeah, I have a son, which, you know, I think people automatically assume that having a boy makes it easier, mm-hmm. but it doesn't. Like, you know, he's got a mom who's engulfed in the fitness world. He sees it 24/7, and even at 5 and 6 and 7, he's asked me, why don't I have squares on my tummy, mommy? Like, he wants to know why he doesn't have six pack like the guys in my videos. And I'm very careful with him to explain that, well, honey, that's, you know, what a man's body looks like, and you're still a boy and you're still growing, and, you know, it's all about eating healthy. We never talk about his weight or, you know, being, I never use the word fat or anything like that. It's all about, like, this is what makes you healthy. This is what makes you strong. This is what makes us feel good. This is what helps you play better baseball or be a better skateboarder. So I just think speaking to our kids in a positive way and also letting them know, like, everybody's body is different. Back in the spring, he was asking me, because his cousin, he has two boy cousins, one's a year older, one's 2 years older, one's 1 year older. And he was like, they're built very lean. My sister and her husband are just very tiny. And he's like, why are they smaller than me? Like, why are they things? They kind of have six packs for kids. And it was one of those things where I was just like, honey, you're built different. Like, my son's dad is 5'11 and 200 pounds. He's built like a linebacker.
Wow.
And that's how Dom's built. Just explaining to him that, like, we're all built different, and that's okay. And it doesn't, you know, anything's wrong, everybody's healthy. And as long as we're supportive and always speak positively to our kids.
So I'll take one question, and we'll ask you our question we ask everyone. I know your cookbook has done really, really well. Do you have, like, one recipe from that you just make, like, over and over and over and over again? And can you share what it is? If so, please.
Yeah. I think I have two. I have my grandma's homemade pasta sauce and meatballs that I make over and over and over again. That's kind of a staple in our house. I usually make it at least once a week or maybe every week and a half. And then the other one that I absolutely love to make is breakfast. There's gluten-free pancakes in there that are just made with, like, gluten-free rolled oats and bananas and vanilla and cinnamon. And I love having that because it works for me and for Dom, and it kind of feels like a little treat in the morning without feeling super guilty about it. So I think those are my two biggest ones that I make the most often, but there's quite a few of them in there that I actually make on a regular basis.
Those sound delicious.
Yeah, they
anyway,
sound delicious.
Any chance you have a link to either one of those recipes anywhere that we might be able to share with listeners?
You know what? Let me see if I can get you guys one, because there's no direct link to it, but they can sometimes, I can usually get them to send over what the recipe is so that either you can post it or they'll post a link for you guys.
Awesome. That would be great if we could share one. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay,
totally.
Autumn, so we're going to just give you our final question and let you go, because I know you have to hit the car soon and take off. So my last question to you is, Autumn, what was the last song you listened to before you did this interview today?
Oh, you're totally going to laugh at me. I had on Pandora. I had on Pandora, and I had on Britney Spears, Pandora radio station. So it was me against the music. It was Britney and Madonna.
Oh, awesome. That's a great choice.
But yeah, I threw on the Pandora radio station this morning, so I wasn't quite rocking out to the country yet.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. It was a pleasure to speak to you.
My pleasure, ladies. Thank you for having me on.
That's it for this episode of the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe to us on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. And if you love what you're hearing, yay, leave a few stars and a review. That would be amazing. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media channels for Fit Bottom Girls, Fit Bottom Zen, Fit Bottom Eats, and Fit Bottom Mamas. You just spell it all out and you will find us. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram. Believe me, you will find us. If you want to reach out to say hi, have a question about a recent episode or interview, feel free to email us at podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. And if books and movies are also your thing, check out the other podcast I co-host called Book vs. Movie, which you can find anywhere where you search for podcasts. Thank you so much once again for dropping by. And remember, a life filled with laughter is a life well lived. Bye.